Series, and John Schur proudly announced in his first New York City appearance in 10 years, Leonard Cohen at Carnegie Hall, Sunday, May 5th.
Susan takes you down to her place near the river.
Tickets for Leonard Cohen at Carnegie Hall go on sale tomorrow at the Carnegie Hall box office through Ticketron and Carnegie Charge. Don't miss Leonard Cohen at Carnegie Hall on May 5th.
Before 11 o'clock, Pete Fornichal on Mixed Bag at WNEW-FM, and joining me after these messages, Leonard Cohen. At 102.7, by way of an early birthday greeting to Judy Collins on May 1st, our featured album this morning has been Who Knows Where the Time Goes. We heard the title track and the incredible string band's First Boy I Loved. 27 minutes before 11 o'clock, Pete Fornichal on Mixed Bag at WNEW-FM, and joining me after these messages, Leonard Cohen. 25 minutes now before 11 o'clock, Pete Fornichal on Mixed Bag this Sunday morning, and I am most pleased to welcome to the program my special guest, Leonard Cohen. Leonard, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome.
Thank you very much.
There were times when I thought this moment would never occur. We had a date potentially scheduled last fall at the time your book came out, which we'll be talking about later, and I heard from your publisher at the final moment that you had disappeared.
Yes, I had disappeared that moment.
And rather than being upset, as sometimes happens when a guest segment that you were counting on goes, I thought it was perfectly consistent with your image over the years that you had disappeared.
I've been away so long, disappearing is hardly noticeable.
Well, now that's a matter of opinion, and we'll get to some of those opinions. In fact, like the fact that you call your one of your publishing companies anyway, Stranger Music, right? This whole persona of the stranger, is that one that fits you like a glove?
It fits me like a glove.
Yeah?
Yes, it does.
Why? Why is that the case?
I've always been on the outside.
More so in regard to your performing career as opposed to your writing career, or both? Do you view them separately?
My mother used to leave me outside in the snow in the winter in Montreal. She used to dress me very warmly and then just leave me outside. I could never get in.
Ever?
Ever get in. And those Montreal winters were bitter. I had this Red River coat and a red sash and a toque with a pom-pom. And I was visible in the snow. You know, she could see me from the kitchen window, but she never let me in.
Mm-hmm. Did you read any message into this from Mom?
I don't think she wanted me around.
Has that affected your work at every stage of the creative process?
Yes, it's given me a deep sense of... first of all, I'm cold most of the time.
Still?
Still cold. And it's given me a sense of agony and suffering.
Which has certainly been a major theme in your work. In fact, never having met you before and preparing for this interview today, I kept saying to myself, I'm going to look for clues for this morose, detached man. And I haven't found any yet. Now, there's this contrast here. There's this paradox, if you will.
Well, we live the life of the heart. And the heart is serious, and it is involved with longing and losing. And we have this notion that entertainment must be a distraction or frivolous, but I think that we all have an appetite for seriousness, and it has a kind of voluptuous enjoyment, seriousness, mm-hmm. and we have little of it. And I myself enjoy work that affirms that seriousness, that affirms that life of the heart.
Yeah, and I think that opinion is borne out in all media, not to a great extent, but little pockets of it here and there in the various art forms or means of artistic expression that we have available to us. I'm interested in your choices for means of expression. Do you, at this point, consider yourself more a songwriter-performer versus strictly a writer? Is it impossible to separate the various processes?
Well, I never operated from a very deluxe position. I never thought of myself standing in front of a buffet table, choosing between the caviar or the herring. I feel more like a rat in the bottom of a barrel, trying to sink his teeth into something. And whatever yields, that I follow.
At what point did you sink your teeth into music as a means of expression? Was it by accident or design is really the question I'm asking.
I think there is a hand at work in everyone's life. It's difficult to name exactly what that hand is. You know, when I was standing beside my tall uncles in the synagogue in the Cantorwood catalog, all the various ways that we've sinned and die, that moved me very much. And I started playing guitar in my early teens, and I played in a country band when I was 16 or 17 called the Buckskin Boys in Montreal. Mm-hmm. We used to do barn dances in church basements and high schools. So I've been playing for a long time. I moved into what they call poetry from folk music.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the lyrics very much, and I used to go down to Harvard and listen to those their record collection for hours and hours every summer.
Now, I'm going to presume something here, and you tell me if I'm right or wrong. I would say that as meaningful as music became to you as a means of expression, you've never seemed comfortable with some of the trappings of, quote, pop stardom and or live stage performances. Is that so?
It depends on the red wine. Sometimes I feel pretty good up there.
How's the red wine flowing in 85?
The red wine, which has been good to us, we've just done 45 concerts in Europe, from Portugal to Poland, and we enjoyed that very much.
Is there a thread of continuity between the way you are received in those countries versus the way you are received here, or are they all individual?
Yes, yes. Oh, there is a substantial difference. For instance, I'm received warmly in Europe, and my audience has evaporated here.
Well, wait a minute now. We're going to put that presumption to the test. A week from today, isn't it?
Yes.
On May 5th, Leonard Cohen at Carnegie Hall, first time in 10 years. Tickets are already on sale, by the way. Contrary to that announcement you heard earlier, tickets are
already on sale. What was that announcement?
It was an announcement about that very date that we're talking about.
Thank you very much.
And you'll have the opportunity to see Leonard in concert next Sunday, May 5th. At Carnegie Hall, tickets on sale now. First time in 10 years.
Ten long years.
Why so long, and what's been going on in the interim? I know it's hard to capitalize a decade, but let's give it a try.
Let me see. Usually in the space of every two or three years, I put out a book and a record. I don't want to be one of those singers who has a quarrel with the commercial recording institutions, but somewhere along the line, I guess, quite justifiably, I was designated a singer who was not in the mainstream. So it was very difficult for me to mount tours in North America without the support of those institutions, whereas in Europe, the song seemed to strike home. And that audience could be likened to our country audience. It's a loyal audience. So I've been able to tour frequently in Europe. And also the books are all in translation there. And somehow that audience has remained aware of what I've been doing. Whereas here, I've usually had to go over the heads of the institutions to the readers or listeners, and that has become more and more difficult as the power of the media has increased.
Yeah, well, we hope that today's visit will put you in direct contact with the people who continue to care deeply about what you do and have done over the years. I'm going to ask you one last quick question before I ask you to perform, which is this. I'm still trying to get a bead on how you perceive yourself and your work. You know, if you're filling out an application, some imaginary application for something or other, for the Columbia Record of the Month Club, whatever. And it gets to the line where it says, occupation, and then there's a blank there. What does Leonard Cohen write in on the line where it says occupation?
Sinner.
You have your musicians with you. You have your guitar. Would you do a number live for us?
I'm in the studio with 3/5 of my band, and we usually plug into amplifiers. There's John Crowder here who plays bass, Mitch Watkins who plays guitar, and Ron Getman who plays pedal steel, but we just got a couple of acoustic guitars here, and we'll try to get through this song. It's called Night Comes On.
Well, based upon what I was hearing in the hallway, it's going to be just fine. Leonard Cohen on Mixed Bag at WNEW-FM.
She lay waiting under the marble and the snow. I said, Mother, I'm frightened. The thunder and the lightning, I'll never come through this alone. She said, I'll be with you, my shawl wrapped around you, my hand on your head when you go. And the night comes on, and it's very cold. And I wanted that night to go on and on, but she said, go back to the world. We were fighting in Egypt when they signed this agreement that nobody else had to die. There was this terrible sound. My father went down with a terrible wound in his side. He said, try to go on, take my books, take my gun. Remember, my son, how they lied. And the night comes on, and it's very calm. I'd like to pretend that my father was wrong, but you don't want to lie, not to the young. We were locked in this kitchen, and I took to religion, and I wondered how long she would stay. I needed so much to have nothing to touch. I've always been greedy that way. But my son and my daughter climbed out of the water, crying, Papa, you promised to play. And they lead me away to the great surprise. It's Papa, don't peek. Papa, cover your eyes, and they hide. They hide in the world. I look for her always. I'm lost in this call. I'm tied to the threads of some prayer, saying, when will she summon me? When will she come to me? What must I do to prepare? When she bends to my longing like a willow, like a fountain, she stands in the luminous air. And the night comes on, and it's very calm. I lie in her arms. She says, when I'm gone, I'll be yours. Yours for song. Now the crickets are singing, the victory bells ringing, the cat's curled asleep in his chair. I'll go down to Bill's bar, I can make it that far, and I'll see if my friends are still there. Yes, and here's to the few who forgive what you do, and the fewer who don't even care. And the night comes on, and it's very calm. I want to cross over, I want to go home, but she says, go back. Go back to the world.
Let me put aside any fears that you may have had about doing it this informally. That was wonderful. My special guest, Leonard Cohen. That song is called Night Comes On. The complete, finished, produced version of that can be found on Leonard's very latest album entitled Various Positions. And Leonard will be appearing at Carnegie Hall on Sunday, May 10th, first time in New York in some 10 years. We got some more things to talk about right after these messages. At 1027, Pete Fornital on Mixed Bag this Sunday morning. I misspoke, to use the political expression that they use when things like this occur. I misspoke myself a moment or so ago when I said that Leonard would be at Carnegie on May 10th. It is, of course, May 5th, 1 week from today, Sunday, May 5th. And to make it up to you, in fact, tell you what we're going to do. Just so happens, through the good graces of our friend John Scher, we have 10 pairs of tickets to give away to see Leonard at Carnegie Hall next Sunday, the 5th of May, and we'll take 10 callers at random at 212-955-WNEW. That's 212-955-WNEW for a chance to see Leonard Cohen in concert next Sunday at Carnegie Hall. Now, let me find you here on the magic controls again, Leonard. There's a couple of other things I wanted to ask you about. In a collection of your poems, which I used to use back in my high school teaching days, I guess it was Selected Poems 56 to 68. Yeah. There's a very short two-line poem there, and I think it was entitled Maria.
Yes, it was Marita, Please Find Me. I am almost 30.
Right, right. That poem struck a chord and has stayed with me all of these years. I wonder now, as you have passed other milestones in your life, the 31 long gone, the 41 in the 40, not 41, you know what I'm saying, the 40 gone to last September 50. Can you offer us any perceptions from those vantage points? Did you approach them with any trepidation? Did you handle them wisely and well? What are your thoughts on that particular process of the life cycle?
I was in the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation in Toronto a few months ago, and I noticed that in the men's room, someone had scrawled this graffiti. It was, Marita, please find me. I'm almost 50.
A sequel. The natural sequel. Well, certainly there is humor in that. What else? What else? What was the experience like? Just another day?
Yeah, just another day. I don't think that things radically change. We change by imperceptible degrees. My friend Irving Layton, a great Canadian poet, has a line, the inescapable lousiness of growing old. I'm still in good shape.
Well, that is obvious, but it's complicated too by the fact that you were preserved in a wonderful film, again, that I remember and used in my high school teaching days, from the National Film Board of Canada, entitled Ladies and Gentlemen, Mr. Leonard Cohen. Have you seen the film recently? Does it still hold up for you? And what about this whole notion of living in a media age where it is possible to have segments of our life preserved on celluloid or videotape or pieces of vinyl?
I think it's very interesting for one's own family and for one's children.
Yeah.
My father was an amateur photographer, and he took movies of my sisters and my childhood and the whole family. And those are very wonderful to be able to see and to look at. Outside of that, I can't think of any deep importance.
Okay. On your previous visit, Had It Happened, we were going to talk about your most recent book, which is entitled Book of Mercy from Villard Books here in New York City. And it is quite obviously, looking for a label for it, it's a prayer book, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. They're psalms or prayers.
Now, has this come out of any intense religious conversion of a specific kind that has occurred in your life in the last number of years?
No, I've never done anything so violent as to actually convert to anything.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
But there are times when you find yourself with your back against the wall and silenced, and the only way you can speak, the only kind of language you can use is that language of prayer.
This is a question that would relate as well to your books and your records, I suppose, but do they hold up for you? Do you go back and read them or listen to them? And are you alternately pleased or not pleased by what you hear or see?
Well, not just speaking for myself, but when I look at the work of any painter or singer or writer who still means something to me, I find his early work just as good as his later work. I think if the gift is there, it manifests very early.
And reveals different dimensions, probably.
Yes, and I think any singer, really, any writer, really only has one or two songs.
Mm-hmm.
And they're elaborated over and over again, and new elements of experience find their way into them. But generally, a voice emerges quite early in a man's life.
Would you honor us with a reading from your most recent book?
This is a small prayer. In the eyes of men, he falls, and in his own eyes, too. He falls from his high place. He trips on his achievement. He falls to you. He falls to know you. It is sad, they say. See his disgrace, say the ones at his heel. But he falls radiantly toward the light to which he falls. They cannot see who lifts him as he falls, or how his falling changes. And he himself, bewildered, till his heart cries out to bless the one who holds him in his falling. And in his fall, he hears his heart cry out. His heart explains why he is falling, why he had to fall, and he gives over to the fall. Blessed are you, clasp of the falling. He falls into the sky. He falls into the light. None can hurt him as he falls. Blessed are you, shield of the falling. Wrapped in his fall, concealed within his fall, he finds the place he is gathered in. While his hair streams back and his clothes tear in the wind, he is held up, comforted. He enters into the place of his fall. Blessed are you, embrace of the falling, foundation of the light, master of the human accident.
Leonard, thank you for sharing that with us, and I consider it very special to have you spend this time with us on Mixed Bag this Sunday morning.
Thank you very much for inviting us down here.
We'll all see you at Carnegie Hall on Sunday, May 5th. That's 1 week from today, first time in a decade. Don't miss him. Leonard Cohen on Mixed Bag at WNAW-FM in New York. Thank you. that's it for this Sunday morning, and an action-packed morning it was. My thanks to Leonard Cohen for being our guest. Leonard is at Carnegie next Sunday. Also, Parker McDonald earlier in the show, who's at the Speakeasy on Tuesday night. Thanks to John Platt. This is Pete Fornital. I'll be back next weekend, as usual, right here at 102.7 WNEW-FM in New York. Stay tuned for Scott Muni's Ticket to Ride.